The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Third and final hour already here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Good to be with you today. And a very interesting conversation as we continued our conversations with the candidates series of in-studio hours with candidates for office in the last hour with Pam Anderson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State. And one thing that I can say about Pam is she's willing to talk about any of these topics and has an answer. It's up to you to judge whether you find those answers sufficiently compelling for your vote. But I haven't, in my several interviews that I've done with her so far, felt like she hasn't had an answer or an explanation that at least was persuasive, and then up to everybody to decide if it was persuasive enough. And I think that's important to address every question that is posed to you and in some detail. Next week, we will be joined in studio by Joe O'Day running for United States Senate. Then on May 14th, in studio with me will be Mike O'Donnell, also running for Secretary of State. That should be interesting. And on the 21st, Heidi Ganahl, Republican candidate for governor, will be in studio. So we shall continue our conversations with the candidates in the coming weeks leading into the June 28th primaries. 303-696-1971, of course, is our telephone number if you'd like to join in to the festivities. We are going to be shifting gears here, although a little later, I'm sure we will have time if you want to make follow-up phone calls on the last hour conversation with Pam Anderson. This is a heavier topic. This is one that's not really for children as well, if you have kids listening, because we are going to be speaking about a plague in schools that, gosh, I am just, the more I look into this and dig in deeper, the more concerned and heartbroken I become about the failure of our public K through 12 education system to appropriately and responsibly address sexual assault issues in schools among students. And this particularly centers on the Cherry Creek School District. Now, that's because I've been looking into Cherry Creek a lot more over the past couple of weeks, and there's more to come. But there is a problem in school districts elsewhere. Denver Public Schools, of course, is one school district that we have addressed in similar respects and in others over the past year on this program and in my columns. But two Wednesdays ago, do you call a high school an alma mater? If you do, my alma mater, Grandview High School, had hundreds of students walk out in protest of the school's failure to appropriately and responsibly handle an issue of sexual assault that happened on the campus last year. And then only yesterday did news come out via Fox 31 that they had suspended the alleged perpetrator. However, this was something that was going on for months, and students said, this is wrong. You have to address this more seriously on campus day in and day out. So we're going to walk out and protest, and the other high schools and Cherry Creek schools did exactly the same thing, with students walking out in protest of the district's mishandling of this particular Grandview issue, but also, more broadly, the issue of sexual assault and harassment in schools and how districts are and aren't handling it. My column two Fridays ago entitled Letting Predators Roam Our Schools in the Denver Gazette dove into this topic at least on the initial level. Now I'm talking with families, victims of sexual assault and harassment who have, gosh, just been absolutely failed by the district, which seems to think that these unenforceable and unenforced, at least I'm increasingly learning, even though the district says they enforce no contact orders, this thing called no contact orders, they're not handling those in a responsible way. And I quoted one student at Cherokee Trail High School in Cherry Creek Schools who had a very similar situation to the Grandview incident, right on down to the words being used by the student who touched her in class, in the classroom. Your consent means nothing to me. There is re-victimization of student victims that is going on campuses, and school districts aren't handling this right. And that's been exposed more in recent reporting, with more to come from yours truly. But Fox 31 and Denver 7, to their credit, have done stories on this since, in Fox 31's case, before the Grandview walkout. And this dovetails in as well with Title IX, which deals with sex discrimination and provides a process for evaluating claims and determining how to act in regards to students. Because keep in mind, well, we have the legal system on the one hand, which can file criminal charges and go through a prosecution, schools also have an obligation, on the other hand, to determine whether students need to be separated, whether there may need to be some sort of a suspension or expulsion or move to another school or what have you for a student who's alleged to have committed sexual assault. And that's particularly because students need to feel, and we're talking about children here, children need to feel safe in the learning environment. If they don't, then they're not going to be able to learn. Let's talk about this as well as some news that broke a couple of days ago out of the United States Supreme Court regarding Title IX with an experienced Title IX attorney who has been on both sides of these issues and in both levels, K through 12 and college and university. Attorney Igor Rakin joins me once again here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Good morning, Igor, and welcome back to KNUS.
Good morning, Jimmy.
I appreciate you taking the time. I mean, I have had more conversations, including one on the air when I filled in for George Brockler on Monday. I encourage folks to go check the 8 a.m. hour. It's posted on my podcast page as well as George's, where I talked with the parents of an elementary school girl who had been sexually harassed by a student. And ultimately, after a no contact order was issued and then seemingly not followed in any appropriate way, they moved their child, which is something that we're hearing, to another school, which is something that we hear all too often. And I'm learning more and more as I talk to families. They're like, okay, well, we might want to move our daughter who's a victim to another school. I mean, there's a real problem here, Igor Rakin.
Well, the problem is, I think, that a lot of these schools are just not taking these reports seriously enough. I think what you have in the Cherry Creek report that's going on right now is a female who came forward almost immediately after this incident happened and probably expected that the school would take this incident seriously. Instead, what they did is give her this pathetic piece of paper, this no contact order that nobody is capable of enforcing. Meanwhile, they did not take any kind of disciplinary action against the student, and they did not remove him from the school even temporarily, which is astonishing to me because I've been dealing with disciplinary actions as a lawyer at Cherry Creek for at least the past 10 years, and I've seen them expel students for much lesser allegations than this, but somehow they're tolerant of this.
Yeah, it's shocking to me to hear the examples as I'm talking to parents as well as victims who are speaking to me on or off the record who have said, look, they issued the no contact orders. They haven't enforced them. I keep seeing my assailant or my child keep seeing their perpetrator in school or in these classrooms or in this environment. I mean, why even do a no contact order? What purpose is there if you're not going to enforce it or provide any guarantee that you're going to separate students, Igor?
Well, this is the appearance of doing something without the reality of actually doing something. I mean, let's think about a no-contact order in a high school for a second and the practical elements of trying to enforce it. Grandview has about, I think, 2,200 students, somewhere around there, give or take. Mm-hmm. Teachers are teachers. They're not law enforcement, okay? They're not experts in these no-contact orders. There's only a handful of security guards in a school. There may be a school resource officer. Not everybody's going to be able to monitor every single situation. So that being the reality, you know that this is just not going to work. Plus, it has no actual legal effect. With a regular, let's say, restraining order, if the person violates the restraining order, that can become an arrestable criminal action. With a no-contact order or no-contact piece of paper, that doesn't actually convert into any kind of a criminal element there. Again, it's just a piece of paper.
I posed several questions to Cherry Creek Schools this week, one of which was my question. Generally speaking, how are no contact orders supposed to be enforced in Cherry Creek Schools? Not even how are they enforced, but what are you supposed to do to enforce them? And the answer from the district was, quote, school staff enforce no contact agreements. If a parent has a concern, they should reach out to the building principal. I don't think that's an answer about how they should be enforced, Igor Rakin. And that's just saying, well, they enforce no contact agreements.
That's not an answer. And in fact, all that does is indicate the lack of seriousness with which Cherry Creek is actually taking this. That's something that someone should be able to easily answer, right? You should figure, okay, well, if your no contact order actually has some kind of force behind it, some kind of weight behind it, then you should be able to easily explain what's going to happen if it's violated. But instead, all they did basically is throw the question back at you.
Again, we're talking with Title IX attorney Igor Rakin here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. In response to another question, they point this out. No contact agreements are both a supportive measure and a form of intervention under Title IX. The issuance of a no contact agreement is not determinative of the outcome of the Title IX investigation. These agreements are a tool also used in non-Title IX measures. And then they direct me to the Title IX website. I just, in talking with parents, the sense that I'm getting, in the words of one mother, is that these no contact orders are used to placate the parents. And in many cases, another parent was complaining about how she feels that the district and school administration have lied to parents, in essence, whether it's through no contact orders or other steps to try and provide some semblance that something is being done, but then they know it's not.
I think the word that you use, placate, is the perfect word because, again, it is an attempt to give someone the appearance that something is being done. But the thing is, Jimmy, they know that these no contact orders or these no contact pieces of paper don't actually do anything. And they're only appropriate when we're talking about fairly low level allegations. Let's say one student insults another student, uses some kind of a gender term, or sexually harasses another student with various comments. Okay, we don't have contact there. But in this particular situation that gave rise to all this, we had one student who allegedly touched the vaginal area of another student. That is assault, plain and simple. At that point, a no-contact order just isn't going to do it. Separate the students. Now, nobody's saying you go out right away and expel the student. Cherry Creek has been told you have other options. You know, during COVID, how many students did we have on online learning? We had hundreds of thousands of them. You still have those online components. You can have the student go through that. You can administratively transfer the student from one school to another. Cherokee Trail is, what, 3 or 4 miles away from Grandview? And at that point, the kid is still being given an education. There are other things that you can do that actually work.
Yeah, that's the thing that's striking here is they seem to be trying to, as another parent told me, sweep it under the rug And that's not going to work because you're talking about students in a learning environment, Igor. And the fact that you have mothers and fathers say, well, we're just going to have to take our child to another school because the district isn't handling this. The kids end up having to continue to see their perpetrators in the classroom or walking through the hallways or in other circumstances on campus in the school environment. I mean, that's stunning to me. But one of the things that keeps coming up, too, is that the district, Igor, has been blaming changes to Title IX that happened under the Trump administration, under the auspices of then Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos, where they say, well, you know, we can't consider this particular instance to be qualified as Title IX. We can't do anything about it. The DeVos changes have tied our hands. What did the DeVos changes do? And how has or hasn't that actually impacted the K-12 system and how they handle issues like this?
So speaking strictly as a lawyer, looking at the DeVos changes, there actually were some good things in there, okay? Because Title IX was passed in 1972, but for a long time, a lot of things didn't happen. But when things did start happening, what we realized that there were protections in there for the accused, which is proper, for the accuser, but there weren't any kind of protections for the accused. There was basically no due process whatsoever. So what the DeVos changes did is actually provide some level of due process to the accused in these kinds of situations, more opportunities for them to present their story, for example. Okay. Now, frankly, in many respects, the DeVos changes don't actually even go far enough. However, what's important to know is that there is nothing in the DeVos changes that actually prevent a school from taking meaningful protective steps in order to ensure the safety of their students. Okay. It just says that they have to conduct a fair investigation. Fine, conduct a fair investigation. But the school may still rely on disciplinary measures in the course of conducting that investigation. So they can temporarily remove the student. Or if they determine after their investigation that this charges are actually founded, they can permanently remove the student. Another thing is that there is still an emergency protective mechanism in the DeVos changes as well. What those changes say is that if you have reason to believe that one student poses a physical threat to another student, there is nothing in the Title IX regulations that prevents you from actually moving that student. And by the way, Jimmy, let me make it clear. I deal with Title IX all the time. It seems that Cherry Creek Schools, they are the only district I have come across that is interpreting Title IX in this way. Other districts are still taking strong disciplinary actions in many of these Title IX cases. But I am getting more phone calls right now from Cherry Creek than from any other district. They are tolerating things that other districts are not.
Igor, just real quick, I have been asking around and trying to see if like Denver Public Schools or other districts use these no contact orders. I haven't found a district yet that does. Are you aware of others that do?
Well, they do, okay, and when I was a dean before in charge of discipline with Denver Public Schools,
okay.
And at times we would have these no-contact things. But again, for low-level issues, mm-hmm. okay, these are for disagreements sometimes. Whenever there was physical contact, we would take a disciplinary approach, and we always referred that to the school resource officer that we had in the school as well. These other districts, too, they are not saying, well, these DeVos changes, they just tied our hands and we can't do anything. I mean, that's a ludicrous position to take anyway. And why it's so surprising for me that Cherry Creek is actually taking that very insane position.
Oh, and the number of people who have told me already, whether they have presented allegations or it's their child or that's a victim or it's a student leading a walkout at one of these schools that have said, oh, well, I'm told that the DeVos changes are responsible for this. It's like that is blatantly, flagrantly dishonest. We've got attorney Igor Rakin, Title IX attorney, joining us on the program. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to call in, 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. As a product of the Cherry Creek School District from fifth grade through high school, I am deeply disturbed and disappointed in what is happening in Cherry Creek Schools. And, I mean, there's every reason to be. Keep it right here. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show News Talk, 710 KNUS. Sorry to disappoint Dr. Evil again. I'm still on the air. It's the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, every Saturday morning from 6 to 9. Thanks for joining us. You got to try and have a little bit of fun, even when you are talking about very heavy and difficult topics, as we are this hour, discussing a apparent failure on the part of the Cherry Creek School District to appropriately and responsibly handle sexual assault and harassment issues on campuses. And, you know, it is interesting to me to be talking with parents who are like, look, this is an issue that isn't about politics. We often think, one parent was talking to me about how we often think that, like, talking about sexual assault in schools or wherever is like a liberal issue. But this parent said it's not. Like, this is something that impacts kids. In this case, we're talking about children of all political persuasions, from their households or racial and ethnic backgrounds and what have you. And we have varying issues that range from elementary school on to high school that we're talking about vis-a-vis Cherry Creek Schools. Igor Rakin, for a decade or more, has been an attorney on Title IX cases that deal in this realm of sexual assault and harassment on campuses from both sides, both the accused and the accuser, as well as both K through 12 and the college level. And Igor, I just want to ask you a question. On Thursday, the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, issued a ruling that has real implications for Title IX and makes it more difficult to use Title IX or lawsuits for people who feel aggrieved that, say, a school hasn't handled it well, to actually bring a lawsuit. What did they decide on Thursday?
Yeah, you know, boy, if there are some school districts out there that weren't taking Title IX seriously before, I don't know why they would take it seriously now. So there is a decision that came out. It is the Cummings decision, and it has not gotten a lot of press coverage because it's a very technical decision, and people think, well, it's technical, it doesn't really matter. And in fact, this is an incredibly important decision with wide-ranging consequences. It applies to four different laws covers many different types of cases. We're talking about disability discrimination, racial discrimination, but it also would apply to Title IX. And what it did, what the Supreme Court did, is say that emotional distress damages are no longer something that you can sue for in Title IX cases. And the thing is, emotional distress damages are the largest damages in Title IX cases. That is the big hammer in all of these kinds of cases. Now, some people may say, well, who really cares? That's just the Lawyer Employment Act. Okay, fine, there's an element of that, but that's not really what it's all about. The emotional distress damages are there meant to be a deterrent. What the Supreme Court says now is that the only damages that you can get if you win a Title IX case are actual out-of-pocket damages, and you can recover your attorney fees. Well, let's say you're someone who has been victimized in a school district, and the school district did nothing, and you have to go see a therapist, and you've got, I don't know, $2,000 in out-of-pocket damages after 20 visits to a therapist. That's what you can recover, is the $2,000. Well, who's going to sue over $2,000? Who would do that? We're talking about a process that could take 3 or 4 years. You're going to go through depositions, evidence, discovery. They're going to look into the teenage girl's social media posts. They're going to talk to all of her friends. They're going to conduct wide-ranging investigations. Who's going to do all of that to recover $2,000? Well, that's the reason before that emotional distress damages existed, is to actually make that person whole, because to say, well, we know that you had to see a therapist for $2,000, but there was other pain and suffering associated with it. It's also the reason that schools were worried about getting hit for large judgments, is because juries could be made to understand that there was emotional distress attached to a lot of these sexual harassment and sexual assault cases. Well, now school districts don't have to worry about this anymore. So where is the incentive to actually get them to apply the law properly and protect these students? And where is the deterrent that's going to actually prevent them from dealing with these kinds of things in a reckless manner. It's gone. I mean, basically, this decision gutted Title IX. It exists on paper right now, but there's very little meaningful benefit at this point, at least in these individual cases.
And that's because there's not a monetary incentive at the moment for the school districts to say, well, we're going to be sued, so we might be sued, and we could be sued for a sizable amount of money. So we're going to take this seriously, whereas even if somebody were to say, well, you know, our reason for bringing the lawsuit isn't because of money. We're not trying to get money out of this. It's no, actually, when you bring a lawsuit in a civil case, you have to have some incentive for the whichever entity you are suing to address your case, and ideally to use that in as that threat and possibility of a lawsuit that could cost a lot as you said, a deterrent to make sure that districts handle Title IX situations with seriousness.
That's correct. I mean, you just think, okay, on a very basic level, how much of our behavior is governed by the reality of consequences, okay? I drive like a maniac. Most people don't. Why don't most people drive like maniacs? Because they don't want to get tickets, because they don't want to pay for them, because then when they get tickets, their insurance rates are going to go up, and they don't want to pay for that either, okay? So what consequences do is they deter bad behavior. And in law, that consequence comes in the form of money because there's really no other consequence. Okay? If Cherry Creek is lousy at Title IX, is someone going to jail? No, no one's going to jail. Is someone going to contact the U.S. Office for Civil Rights and complain? Okay, I've dealt with them. I might as well send my complaints to Taco Bell because they're just as likely to get resolved over there as they are with the useless Office for Civil Rights. So what are we left with? We're left with the hammer of money damages. But now, basically, the Supreme Court has taken that hammer from us and just shattered all of Title IX.
You know, I have to say, I read the opinion, which was written by Justice Roberts, and it was the six conservatives who were in the majority versus the minority. And it is very rare that I read a decision and I'm like, the logic of the majority, and I don't want to get into their rationale, but I will just say that I read it and I was like, I don't follow this. This doesn't make sense to me as far as the rationale. And I actually thought that there were a couple of good points made by Justice Breyer in his dissent. And folks, that normally doesn't happen for me. But I do want to ask you about the prospect of, is there any other basis upon which somebody could bring a lawsuit relative to Title IX in, say, a sexual assault circumstance, Igor Rakin, without the emotional distress damages that could be viable? Are you still sort of looking through it and figuring out what options there are? Because this decision only came out on Thursday.
It did. Well, I mean, the possibilities are limited. If you're looking for any kind of state action, good luck. The state has something called the Governmental Immunity Act, the GIA, which makes it just about impossible to sue a school for virtually anything that happens over there, except in very, very limited circumstances. So that avenue basically is closed to us. We can get into very complicated equal protection claims. And we have done that before, but those cases are much more difficult to establish. And then we get into what's known as these qualified immunity issues, which your listeners may be familiar with, but I'm not going to get into the weeds on that. But needless to say, the reason that we don't do more of these equal protection claims is because qualified immunity ends up putting up a very huge barrier to these kinds of suits. So right now, I mean, the bottom line is that there are very limited protections out there for students in these Title IX cases. It's a law that exists on paper but doesn't have much effect right now.
Well, and here's how aware the school districts are of this, specifically Cherry Creek, at like 11 o'clock yesterday morning, significantly less than 24 hours after the Supreme Court's decision came out on Thursday. The Cherry Creek School Board of Education put out a notice for a special meeting. Please consider this email: notice of a Board of Education special meeting on Monday, May 2nd, 2022 at 4 o'clock p.m. This meeting will be at the Educational Services Center, 4700 South Yosemite Street in Greenwood Village. The agenda is as follows. Call to order approval of the agenda. executive session with legal counsel under CRS, and it gives the code, to receive legal advice on specific legal questions, including pending litigation matters and Title IX requirements and policies. Cherry Creek Schools in the hot seat right now over Title IX issues. Wasted no time, Igor Rakin, in calling a special session with executive session to talk with legal counsel about Title IX.
Jimmy, they're celebrating this. Okay, there are government officials all over the entire country that are jumping for joy because of the Cummings decision. Let me give you just a Cherry Creek example, okay? Cherry Creek had to settle a Title IX case a few years ago for $12 million. Why? Because they had a middle school teacher who had molested several students. There were people who were aware of what was happening, and these people did nothing about it. And Cherry Creek paid out $12 million. Why? Emotional distress. There weren't $12 million in attorney fees or anywhere near it. There weren't $12 million in medical bills. It was emotional distress. You know what Cherry Creek would pay out now? A fraction of that. In fact, most lawyers wouldn't even want to take the case because they know the damages would be so low. So what did the Supreme Court just do? It gave a license to schools like Cherry Creek and schools all over the country to essentially have tolerance for intolerable behavior.
Allowing government officials to get away with districts, to get away, and other institutions to get away with abuse or with not addressing abuse or assaults when they happen on campuses. That's stunning. Igor Rakin, before we let you go, is there anything positive that you can bring us today? Or is there a next step that maybe parents listening who are concerned can do, what they can advocate for as far as changes in Colorado, for example?
Well, look, Title IX is a federal law.
Yes.
Our federal government is not going to pass any meaningful changes to Title IX. Okay, they can't agree on anything. Everything's a political football. It's not going to happen. This has to happen at the state level. Parents have to go to their elected officials, and this is not a partisan issue. We're talking about the safety of our kids, okay? And say, look, there's got to be something that holds schools responsible when they actually drop the ball. And it can't just be something that's guidance. You can't put something on the books that says, well, schools should do this or schools should do that. The big question is, what happens if they don't? What is the consequence if they actually screw this up? Because they screw this up all the time. You've got to put some kind of a deterrent in there. The legislature has a month left in its legislative session. This is really an emergency all hands on deck situation because there is this kind of conduct out there going on right now in all kinds of school districts. I mean, kids are great. I love kids. I've served kids for over 20 years, but sometimes they act bad. They act badly. School officials have to step in. Right now, what is the incentive for them to step in? And what's the deterrent if they don't?
Legal changes would be needed to make that happen. Yeah. Heard loud and clear, Igor Rakin, longtime Title IX attorney. Thank you so much for joining us today. Always appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. One more segment. Time's been flying by. News Talk 710 KNUS. I don't know, as we rock and roll into the final segment of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, if Warren Haynes and Government Mule are singing about Cherry Creek Schools. Probably not, but I think the lyrics fit. Welcome back to the program. Good to be with you today, talking about very serious and grave situations in our public school system and a failure of leadership. I've got a lot more coming up on Cherry Creek Schools. I'm digging in deeper, talking to more families. There's a lot more to come in this regard. And we will get to that both here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show on 710 KNUS, as well as in my columns, particularly for the Denver Gazette. Check out my piece two Fridays ago now, Letting Predators Roam Our Schools. Real quick before we get to Eric in Stapleton, 2,000 Mules, be sure to check this out, the explosive new movie from Dinesh D'Souza, executive produced by Salem Media Group, tells the story of the ones, he says, tried to hijack a presidential election, and he argues that this Well, there's jaw-dropping evidence about what happened in November of 2020. Thousands across the country are attending the nationwide theatrical release. In case you missed it, or if you want to see 2000 Mules again, watch the special virtual event from the comfort of your home on May 7th. See the movie President Donald Trump calls a real blockbuster and participate in a live audience Q&A with Dinesh D'Souza, Eric Metaxas, Larry Elder, and others. Watch on any device with a web browser. Showtime begins 8 p.m. Eastern on May 7th. Visit 2000mules.com to get your tickets today for this one-of-a-kind virtual event. That's the number 2000mules.com. Real quick, we are just about out of time. Eric in Stapleton, good morning, brother. How are you?
Hi, Jimmy. I was just wondering, like I told Blake, your producer, if you had contacted Jake Flowers, because after you instructed me to give the info to Billy that Monday,
yeah,
I called them back, and they were waiting for you with bated breath,
okay,
and you
I never called them. I didn't get a chance to call
them
this week, Eric. I didn't say that I was going to when I was going to be able to, so I'm sorry I haven't been able to. I'm going to try to next week. This has been a heck of a week.
Okay, I know. Do you want me to give Blake the info again?
No, I actually have the sticky note at home. I know exactly where it is. So I've still got it. It's there for me to call at my earliest opportunity. And this is No More, which is an organization dealing with what exactly? Sexual abuse children.
It's a bunch of lawyers, and they were waiting. Yeah, but, you know, like you said, you're busy. But
this was an unusually crazy week.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want Tay Anderson. And then I was watching these rallies with these kids again back when you were taking care of Gigi Gordon and all the rest of the, you know, the babies that have been touched by Tay Anderson. I want him gone, my brother.
Well, okay. Thank you, Eric, for the call. I appreciate it. And in terms of No More, I do want to say that just to be clear in terms of allegations and whatnot, Gigi wasn't making any direct allegations about Tay Anderson. And the report for DPS made some conclusions, did not substantiate allegations of sexual misconduct among students in DPS. There were other things that were found that were deeply disturbing. I just want to make sure that folks know that that's clear for our due diligence. Alexa texting in, very pathetic how these schools are handling these situations. Let me tell you, ain't that the truth? We will continue to cover this. Cherry Creek Schools, Denver Public Schools, we've got our eyes on you. Randy Corcoran up next. Have a great weekend. God bless America.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.